If you have your Bibles, you want to turn them to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're new with us today, we have been studying through the whole book of Corinthians, and we have now found ourselves in the 7th chapter where we are finishing up the 3rd lesson in regard to the element of marriage. And today we're going to be looking at marriage and what I've entitled, The Priority of Marriage. Kind of interesting. Marriage takes a lot of hits from comedians and things along that line, and quite frankly, it can be quite a humorous adventure. And I thought I would just take a few moments to give us some of the things that are in the world for humor in regard to marriage. Maybe you can relate to some of these things. Here is a statement by Socrates. It says, "By all means, marry. If you get a good wife, you'll be happy. You get a bad one, you'll become a philosopher, and that's a good thing for any man." Marriage is when a man and woman become as one. The trouble starts when they try to decide which one. Someone has said marriages are made in heaven, but so again, so are thunder and lightning. A little boy asked his father, "Daddy, how much does it cost to get married?" And the father replied, "I don't know, son. I'm still paying." And another one, the young son asked his dad, "Is it true, Dad, that in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her?" Dad replies, "Son, that happens in every country." And then out of the mouths of babes, kids were asked the question about marriage. How you decide who to marry? No person really decides before they grow up who they're going to marry. God decides it all way before, and you get to find out later who you're stuck with. And then in regard to the section what we're looking at in 1 Corinthians 7, is it better to be single or married? One young lady said that it's better for girls to be single, but not for boys. Boys need someone to clean up after them. Another young lady said single is better for the simple reason that I wouldn't want to change no diapers. Of course, if I did get married, I'd just phone my mother and have her come over for some coffee and diaper changing. So different individuals have an idea of why it is important to get married, whether to get married, whether not to get married. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and beginning in verse 25, we'll be looking at that same concept from a biblical perspective, whether it's better to marry or to remain single. Our key thought today, choosing to marry is an important decision. It is a very important decision. Let's have prayer, and then we'll look at our text today. Father, I thank you for the privilege of being able to share your word. Lord, I thank you for the many good examples of marriage that we've been able to observe in our lifetime, of individuals who have given to each other sacrificially. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us so much detail on how a genuine biblical marriage should operate. And Father, I pray that you will allow us today as we are wrapping up this series on marriage that we might do so in such a way that brings honor to you, brings understanding to those who are here, challenging, maybe convicting, encouraging, whatever the role might be, that your word might indeed have a great impact on us. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Remember several years ago when I was considering getting married to Marty, and as I rehearsed those wonderful thoughts before some of my workmates, many of them said, "That's a terrible decision. You don't want to do that. It'll be bad for you. Marriage doesn't work. It's a terrible institution, and you don't need to be involved with it." And it was interesting. Most of the individuals talking that way obviously had difficult experiences themselves, etc. And so it's important It was important for me to look at the decision to marry from various fronts, from various aspects. And my primary perspective was a biblical aspect of whether it was a good thing for me or not. And today, we're going to look at some considerations that I believe that are kind of available to us in this text. The Apostle Paul had just given instructions to those who had found themselves in a situation where they might be believers, married to unbelievers, talking about the importance of the permanence of marriage. And as he developed all that, he kind of takes another side of it and says, because marriage is so important, you need to make certain considerations before you jump into this. And so he does it from a very positive perspective. He doesn't go through the perspective of wanting to diss marriage by any means. But he wants to let us know that despite cultural pressures and all the different things there might be, that there's nothing wrong with being single. But he also wants to say there's nothing wrong with getting married. And he goes through and basically what I believe the Apostle Paul's purpose in this passage is to help us to see that the whole concept of marriage or remaining single is based on wisdom decisions. Marriage is not right for everyone. Neither is being single right for everyone. And that's where we get into one of these situations where we have to use some discernment for our own individual situations. The Apostle Paul is very careful in all this, even though he has his preference. You'll see it pretty much outlined there, that he says being single is better. But he is also very careful to say that God can exalt and use both situations. So what I want to do is pull from that three considerations that we should have in regard to marriage. And obviously, if you're already married, it wouldn't be a consideration in regard to choice, but maybe a reaffirmation as to what you should be doing because you've made the choice. So either way, you can listen to the message today and it can be beneficial to you. But let's just look at the passage, starting at verse 25. It says, now concerning virgins or single ones, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in his mercy has made trustworthy. Reason for the statement in that fashion is just simply the Apostle Paul had earlier talked about, this is what the Lord said in regard to divorce. This is what I'm saying in regard to a special, unique situation in regard to those who are married to unbelievers. In this situation, he's saying that if the Lord Jesus Christ didn't really deal with the issue of comparing singleness with marriage. So that's basically all he's saying and reaffirming the fact that even though that would be the case, he still is God's man to talk about this situation. Then he goes on in verse 26, he says, I suppose therefore that this is good because of the present distress, that it is good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Now, he wasn't trying to be derogatory in that particular situation. He was just talking about, have you made the commitment? Have you brought yourself into that unity of bondness? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loosed from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Essentially, what he is talking about here is the importance, as he kind of dealt with at the end of the last section about not wanting to change your situation. But he says here, because of the present distress. Now, the present distress isn't described in this text. We don't know exactly what Paul was talking about here. He was talking about some distress that he would know and the people in Corinth would know. It's something that was universal, not just a particular individual that he's talking to, but something that would impact them as a whole, that he could speak of it in a general sense of saying, because of our particular situation, we should be very careful and be discerning in regard to a decision to get into a marriage relationship. The present distress is what he talks about. He goes on a little bit further if you just look at verse 29. But he says, "But I say this, brethren, the time is short, so that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they had none." Verse 31, "For the form of this world is passing away." Again, the Apostle Paul is not commanding husbands to not act like husbands. He's just saying that there's a particular condition that is going on in their society that it was going to make it more difficult. And I'm not sure what all was. My suspicion is it had something to do with the persecutions that was going on in the land. And the fact that a man who takes on a commitment to become married and does so and takes on that wife and then very much might quickly lose his own life and leave her in a difficult situation or not be available to be there to encourage her. I'm not sure exactly what the Apostle Paul is talking about, but from the text, I get the impression that there is an importance for people to use certain circumstances, discern whether it's the best thing for them to do. In this particular case, he was saying it in a general sense, but I think we could apply it also to a specific sense that we as individuals need to sit down and discern whether or not it is the best thing for us to do. Whether it's going to be something that is because of certain circumstances, etc., that might make marriage a difficulty to fulfill the great commitment that we are called to in those bonds of marriage. We should be very careful in getting into that decision. Now, interesting, he doesn't say that they should not marry. They still are free to marry. He's not saying, because of distressful things, I tell you all, stay single. He doesn't say that. He just says as a precautionary thing to recognize, pay attention to what's going on around you. Now, that, my friends, is a difficult thing to do when people are thinking about getting married. I don't know if you've ever been around a couple that are newly engaged and excited about the nuptial experience and all the things along with that round. Someone has said it's a lost cause to try to do premarital counseling because they don't even know what's going on at that time because they're so smitten with love and et cetera. I happen to believe differently. That's why I offer premarital counseling and insist upon it, because I believe you get to the heart even though the eyes are still, you know, whatever. But the idea is that we need to recognize the things that are going on around us, that it's not just an emotional, motivated type of thing, and because everyone else is doing it, all my friends are getting married, or this is happening, or that, or whatever it might be, the cultural emphasis, etc. The Apostle Paul says there is a proper thing to sit down and say, it's okay if I don't get married. It's okay. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul would go to the point of saying, it's better that you not get married. And so that we not jump in and think that the choice of getting married doesn't involve some considerations. This particular one, he's talking about distress. He's talking about timing. I am not sure. Some have thought this is a little on the eschatological element, that the Apostle Paul may have been talking about time is coming near. Be careful. You're going to have a lot of intense things. Regardless of what it is, it's obvious the Apostle Paul was saying that the conditions were difficult, and that one would take into consideration. Why do I say it? In my estimation, this elevates the role of marriage. Very serious thing. That's not something we just jump to, that we look at the different circumstances and look at it from a perspective of what type of trials, etc., that are coming into it. Unfortunately, some people run from problems and try to think that marriage is going to fix those problems. In my counseling, I have discovered that is not the case. Individuals who run from problems at home and want to get out from underneath those parents and run to get married tend to multiply those problems, because marriage isn't a place where you are free from problems. Marriage is an opportunity for you to experience new problems and stresses. It's just think of it, taking two sinful people and putting them together and requiring them to make decisions together and do all these various things. It's amazing that any marriages survive. It's by the grace of God and through a lot of hard work and sacrificial work. So circumstances, consider them. Next, he goes on in verse 32, says, "But I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord." Verse 34, the unmarried woman, talk about the man in verse 32, verse 34, the unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and spirit. And basically that she can be able to give herself wholly unto the Lord and focus completely on Him. The man the same. He can focus completely on the Lord. That the unmarried cares for the things of the Lord. So if one finds themselves in that type of an opportunity of being single, the Apostle Paul is saying this is a great opportunity. Now you can focus yourself completely on the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did Paul think that way? Because that's the way Paul lived. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And when you have that type of philosophy in life, the thought of being able to give yourself solely unto the Lord Jesus Christ and to live completely for Him and to make your allegiance to Him was a very attractive thing. And he's saying, this is a great opportunity. Unfortunately, as I remember back in my single days, that wasn't necessarily the first forefront thing on my mind. Is that I wasn't always thinking about how I could use my single status to a greater capacity for the Lord. And I dare say that's true for others as well. That instead of using it for that element, there's usually thinking of how can I use my singleness to benefit myself. But Paul says we have an opportunity to be care or have great concern for the things of the Lord and how we can please Him. What a great challenge. What a great opportunity to be able to stand before Him. Verse 33, though, goes on to say, "But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife." Verse 34, "But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband." Here he contrasts the two things. Now, this doesn't mean that once you get married, hey, I don't have to please the Lord anymore. You know? That's not what he's emphasizing here. He's emphasizing, the priority of marriage. When one makes a decision to get involved with a marital relationship of committing to the other individual, they have chosen to be concerned for the care of another person. That we've decided to become one flesh. We decide that we're going to give 100% into that relationship to that other person. So many times I hear this over and over again, we want to have a 50-50 marriage. Well, the one thing is someone says that they want to meet you halfway usually has a poor judgment of distance, right? And if we're going 50-50, it's very possible that my 50 might be different than Marty's 50. And we may not ever meet in the middle. But if we're willing to commit 100% and say, this marriage, I am going to make this individual the individual that I care for and desire to please, the Apostle Paul says that is what marriage is all about. Now, the idea is the best way you can do that is to seek to please the Lord. I heard this pyramid years ago, and you probably heard it before too, as if you put yourself on one base of the pyramid and your spouse on the other one and put God up at the top, the more you strive to be more like God, the closer you get together as individuals in your marriage. And it's a good visual, and it's also good to understand that when we serve God together, it makes for a strong marriage. And that's where we need to recognize that the cares of the married individual is indeed going to be towards their spouse. And I believe that elevates marriage, because a single individual isn't given that kind of command. Oh, there's certain still respects and honoring and other elements in regard to the body of Christ. I mean, it doesn't mean you're a maverick and on your own. We're all part of the body of Christ and we're all working interaction. But in the marriage relationship, again, very special relationship that we have a commitment to plug ourselves into one another with the intent of pleasing the other one. Now recognize that is a reciprocating thing. Some individuals come into a marriage and thinking that it's their role of their spouse to please them. Now, if you're looking at it from that perspective, you're going to be very disappointed. If you go into it from the perspective that you want to come in with a servant heart towards the other person, you will always have opportunities. You'll always have an opportunity to serve and to give of yourself to another individual. And it's much more what God has in mind. So here's the contrast. Consider the cares. One who would be single would have different cares than the one who is married. Consider the circumstances. Be careful to recognize marriage is a very, very important step in one's life. Number three, consider the commitment. But if any man thinks he is behaving improperly toward his virgin, is that the one he desires to marry, if she is past the flower of youth, and thus it must be, let him do what he wishes. He does not sin, let them marry. Some of this is a little difficult for us to understand because of cultural issues. Not sure what Apostle Paul is approaching here. From his Jewish background, he could be talking from the perspective of those who had a cultural understanding of the kind of arranged marriages type of situation. But from the Roman perspective and the influence of the Gentile and Greek world was not so, in that couples were more in the prospect of choosing, more so the man going out aggressively and choosing who he'd marry. So it's very hard to understand exactly what the intent here, other than to understand what Paul is saying about the importance of the man thinking and behaving properly and using discernment in regard to the decision to get married. And I believe that the words that I pulled out of this is that there is that consideration when we decide to marry, we should decide based upon the good of the other person. Based upon the good of the other person. A lot of times when we think about marriage, we think about from the perspective of what that other person can do for me and how that I can't live without that other person. And I was challenged early on in our dating that I consider what I could bring into the relationship to benefit Marty if we should get married. And so with that, with working through that for years in my premarital counseling, that's one of the first things, assignments that I give to these young couples is I want you to write out a list of things that you bring to this relationship that person will benefit because they're choosing to commit their life to you. We don't usually think in those circles. We think, well, that's too much attention on myself. Well, if we don't go in with that determination that I have something to bring under the grace of God for His glory, then I have no business tying up this other person in my life. Because marriage is a huge commitment. Marriage is a big thing. God says it's till death do you part. Therefore, with instruction in regard to all that, He's talking about the premise of marriage, use some good considerations. And one of those is decide what's good for the other individual. Verse 37, nevertheless, he who stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but has power over his own will, and has so determined in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well. So then he who gives her in marriage does well, or your virgin may say, though that choose to get married, does well. But he who does not give her in marriage does better. Basically, again, emphasizing the importance of choosing well. Notice some key words, the word standing steadfast. Using discernment. It's not all just an emotional type of thing that you jump into. Recognizing their steadfastness in his heart, having power over his own will. Just different things that give us an understanding that marriage isn't something that you fall into and fall out of. is a very serious consideration. And God wants to make sure that we choose well. Again, he says, if you get married, it's okay. You do not sin. If you choose not to get married, that's okay. It's not a sin. Don't you just love it when people give you those options? Isn't it better when they just tell you what you ought to do? Just say, you should do such and such. Oh, God has given us so many freedoms. And that requires us to determine, to depend upon Him so we can be good discerners of what would be best. Verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. Again, talking about the permanence of marriage. But if her husband dies, she has liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. That's Paul speaking. Apostle Paul, again, talking about the widow that is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. If he should die, she is free. She's free to remarry, but only in the Lord. So you see from this two things. So when we choose to get married, decide that marriage is for keeps. Don't think of it, well, I'll give it a try for a little while. I'll just see how it works out. We'll just check it out. Marriage is for keeps, and marry in Christ. Marry for keeps, marry in Christ. Those are two principles that come out of this type of thing that we should recognize in this instruction to these individuals. They can marry to whom she wishes. She can marry any man she pleases. I used to say I could marry any woman I please. I just only happen to please one. And that isn't a full-time thing either, huh? But she can marry whoever she wishes. She has that freedom within one framework, right? Her in Jesus Christ. A believer's responsibility is to marry a believer in Christ. Kind of interesting how much freedom there is in that. But he says that is, you marry for keeps, you marry in Christ. Consider the commitment. Considering marriage, three things that we summarize with. First, I think it should be with reservation. I really do. I think that the whole concept of marriage should be something that one looks at circumstances, looks at situations, very careful in the process, and determining it's not something you want to jump into without thinking it through. It's not something you do just because a lot of other people are doing it. Marriage, consider it with responsibility, that I'm going to think through that when I choose to commit myself to this other individual, I am making a huge commitment. I am determining that I am not only going to please God, but I have the responsibility of pleasing this other person. I have this responsibility of desiring to make this other person as profitable and benefited as much as I can. Wow, what a tall order. That's huge. You look at it from the perspective, if I'm already in a marriage, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is not to see what I can get out of my spouse, it's what I can put into my spouse. It's my responsibility to see what I can do to help their life be easier and help their life be more pleasurable. And that becomes my responsibility. And thirdly, make the decision with resolve. That as we consider that we're going to make the decision to get married, we do so with the understanding that this is for keeps and this is what God wants. This is what God wants until death do us part. And it might not just be something that flows off the lips of the preacher and the two up in front of everyone, but it's embedded in the heart as a commitment that there are no options. The resolve. And that same resolve is very important in our relationships as married folk. That if we look at it as being that we have the responsibility of staying together and working out the problems, the resolve will keep us going and working through things. If we think that we have an option out, we will tend to take it. And God wants us to take the resolve and to be committed to it. Marriage is a very important thing. So much so, the Apostle Paul says, when you choose, use good discernment. Being single in his mind and from the perspective of being able to serve the Lord is superior to being married. If you choose to remain single, you have not sinned. If you choose to marry, you have not sinned. He gives us the choice, but folks, remember, when we make that choice, we've made the choice. And we need to recognize what goes along with that choice. So use good discernment in regard to it. You've already made the choice. You've got a commitment to withhold. You have a commitment to hold up and to keep up and to work on. And I encourage you, Marty and I spent lots of time prior to our marriage and much time after our marriage reading and listening to tapes and watching videos and interacting. We even interviewed people, all these various things, because we wanted things to work. And it doesn't come natural. It takes a lot of determination to do the right thing. And I want to encourage you, if you have an interest in working on those elements, we have tools that can help you to become the spouse that God desires you to be. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity you've given to us to just share what we see there in 1 Corinthians 7. Lord, we know that there was some conflict that took place for the people in Corinth. Not sure exactly what it is, but we know that from it we can derive some principles to help us be more conscientious in our decisions in regard to marriage and what we should do in our marriages. Father, I pray that we as a church will exalt marriage, that we might indeed see it in the light in which you have presented it, that we might recognize that we should not take it lightly. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege of sharing your word. And Lord, I pray for each one that is here today, as we were talking about the marriage, which is a picture of your relationship with us as the church, that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and we as a church are to love and follow you. And you say, Lord, that our marriages are a picture of that special relationship. So I pray that if there's anyone here that has not accepted your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and have not had the privilege of having a personal relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they'll work on that first by trusting your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for their sins, and that he was buried and that he rose again, and he's now with you, making intercession for us as we pray in his name. Amen.